We've just committed our time to the Lord. And again, come this morning expecting, believing, because God is faithful. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for our meeting, our coming together in your presence. Lord, we ask that you will help us to hear your word and to live by the standard and principle of your word. Father, help us also to take that which we hear and to talk, to pray, to converse with you, so that what we hear can be translated into a living reality day by day in our everyday walk. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you that the promises where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And so we commit our time now. We thank you for the blood of Jesus over this meeting and over all the saints who come into the room in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, we're going to continue our teaching. You remember last week I started on teaching about the overcoming life and walk, and we called our teaching the reality of the overcoming walk. The reality of the overcoming walk. And again, for those of you, if you've not heard it or want to refresh yourself and go over this, it is on our website. But remember, last time we opened up with this thought, and that is that unless the cross, with its trials and its humiliations that are attached to it, if that is not applying and working in our lives, then we are not walking the overcoming life and walk. In other words, it won't happen. It isn't going to happen in your life. It could be that you could sit in a church that's preaching and teaching the deeper life, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's happening in your life. Don't think that because you sit in an assembly, a church, that is preaching faith and the deeper life, that I am necessarily walking it. We can still, at times in our hearts, be just mere spectators. Because unless we desire this to be translated in our flesh, in our everyday walk, it's not going to happen. But I'm leaving all of that because we have that down on tape and you can listen to that. But I want to continue with our teaching this morning. And remember that we're calling this the reality of the overcoming walk. The reality of the overcoming walk. Now, the overcomers is one who is totally and completely loyal to God and his word. And not only loyal to God and his word, but love for each other. And we're going to base this today from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. And this is the church that, again, is highly commended in God's eyes, but it does lack one thing, and that is love amongst the brethren. But all the rest is highly, highly commended. So we can still glean much from the church at Ephesus. And I'm going to read this through in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, of which it says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What we know that was happening here was that they were highly commended for their discernment, their labour in the word, their ministry, their loyalty, everything. But a great mistake was happening. They were losing sight of their first love. In other words, losing sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, losing sight of that time when they gave their lives and hearts to the Lord Jesus. That love that was experienced, that forgiveness, that joy, that fellowship that you have when you encounter with the Lord. They were losing sight of that. And every believer who goes deep with God as an overcomer must always keep that as the focal point of our life and walk with God. Because otherwise, if we don't, all these things that we labour in, and our discernment and our ministry, can start to fall into legalism, and it becomes religious. And boy, have we got enough of that around the world. So that keeps us balanced. It keeps us right in God's sight, so that he can work with us. In other words, what it does by remaining with your first love, it keeps you in that humble state before God. It keeps you in that state where you're still teachable, where God still can communicate. He can still do that work and that change in your life and your heart. So that must never be forgotten in the deeper life that we preach. Always remaining true, ever desiring that first love that we have, which is Jesus himself. So as we're going over these teachings again, both Brother Bob and I, remember, never forget your first love, which is the Lord himself. And everything flows as a result from that. However, we note in verses 2 and 3, which we're just going to look at again, because it says here, I know your works, your labour, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and had patience and have laboured for my name's sake and have not become weary. Well, wish to God that many churches in this last day live up to that principle. Why, this is even a challenge to FGA. But there are some who lose sight of what this overcoming walk and life is about. You can get so caught up in your labour, in your patience, in bearing those who are weak in the faith, or those that you see around are evil, those that call themselves believers but are not really, are not producing the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. You've tested these things. You've discerned those who call themselves apostles and those who are not. They don't necessarily have to be apostles. They can be teachers or prophets. And we see many around today labeling, calling themselves these things. But in your heart, you know that they are not producing the goods. They are not walking holy, separate lives. And you found them out to be liars. How? By the word, by the sword of the Spirit, by the message they teach. You find yourself that you have preserved, you are being patient, you are labouring in the vineyard, holding to the name of Jesus. And yet, the Lord says, it cannot be enough. Because unless all of those labours are motivated by the love of God, it's in vain. It's not going to stand. It will not test itself in the trials when the fire comes and so on. But we also find that there are those in the house of God who are not always patient. They're not always faithful. They sometimes will only be loyal and faithful when they're convicted by the word of God, or if God does a blessing in their lives. My biggest concern as a pastor and teacher is that when you are stirred up by these principles that we teach you, and again we're going over the deeper life, or you become convicted. This time I'm really going to get my act right, and so on. But the point is, if we want to grow with the Lord, we have to seek God. Father, help me to be faithful. Help me to be patient. Help me to go that extra mile, both in and out of season. Why is it we're only motivated when we're in season, when we feel spiritual, or when we have been convicted, or whatever? Why is it that God can only then get the best out of us? Much of Christendom lives by that principle. But the Word of God shows that we have to grow and mature both in and out of season. And that is what tests all of this. That's what sorts out the men from the boys. That's what sorts out those who are really seeking God in prayer and praying these things down into their hearts. This is what sorts it out. It doesn't mean to say because you've come into the room this morning and you're going to listen to this message that your life is going to change. It's only going to change if you take that which you are hearing and you converse with God. When you ask Him to make the reality of this in your heart. The reality of this walk is not in your heads, brothers and sisters. As your head sticks get filled with a load of facts, a load of verses, a load of principles, it's not enough in the head. It has to drop that 18 inches to the heart. And this is really what the Holy Spirit is warning the church here at Ephesus. Get it back firmly into your heart, that first love. Get it secure. Seek me and ask that it will be put back into your heart. For only God can place these things in the heart of man. This is why we make much about the parable of the sower. One of the greatest parables that Jesus ever gave. Because he knows it's not what goes in, it's what comes out. And Jesus said, by the fruit you shall know them. You can be 101% committed to the meetings, committed to listening to every teaching, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's affecting or touching the heart, which is what it's supposed to do. That is why the Word of God is related and seen as a sword, a two-edged sword, so sharp that it divides, it cuts asunder, as Hebrews tells us. For what purpose? so that it may be grounded and rooted in the heart of man. That's why. But there can be many who can go through these convictions. Their emotions can be stirred. They can listen to this teaching today, but as long as it doesn't interfere with my life, my plans, what I want to do, I'm happy. And that is not the deeper life. That is an indication you've not surrendered yourself, Romans 12, 1 and 2, on that altar. It's a sign that you don't want to take up your cross daily and follow him. Because if you're finding this walk is interfering with your plans, your life, your future, your wants, your desires, then you've got to stop because something is wrong. You are going against the Holy Spirit. You are going against the will of God in your life. We come back to always that challenge that God gives us. Is it my will or thy will be done? That's why we pray the Lord's Prayer, or we're given the principles of that prayer. We say these things, but in our life, is it really a reality? That is the question. Remember, we're talking today about the reality of the overcoming life. Or walk. That's what we're talking about. You see, many who are baptized in the Holy Spirit are still too involved with life, family issues, affairs of the world, or they're involved in politics, or whatever, just worldly things still occupy their time, their mind, their thinking. These are things that we have to let go. It takes 24/7 to seek with all your heart the kingdom of God and what it pertains. And if you're involved in other things other than that, then you are not truly experiencing the overcoming life and walk. The overcomer is one who labours faithfully in the vineyard. That is, if you are in the vineyard. If you are truly in God's vineyard, then you will see as a labourer, as a worker, what needs to be done. How it needs to be nurtured, tilled, cared for, cultivated. Just like you have a garden. I have a garden. I'm blessed with a garden. But that garden, through the seasons, tells me what needs to be done. And I can either choose to ignore it, or I get out there as the Lord gives me the time and I put those things right, what need doing. Because if I don't, the whole thing becomes a wilderness. And brothers and sisters, bless your hearts, but some of you need a revelation of the vineyard that God has placed you in, his vineyard. Your eyes need to be open and to see what needs to be done. There are souls out there perishing. There are things happening in the world that we can get on our knees and supplicate and get in warfare to put back the powers of darkness. There is many things that need to be cultivated in this vineyard. But we shut our eyes to it. Why? Because I'm more interested in my own life, my own plans, my own things, myself, me. Unless me gets out of the way, we will never see this vineyard that we're all labourers in for the glory of God. We will be just become inward looking, selfish, all about me and my wants and everything. And this sadly is what the prosperity teaching around the world has done to a lot of Christendom. The enemy knows how to keep a believer looking to themselves, their wants, their own lusts. All of that has to be placed at the cross. All of that has to be surrendered. Not my will, thy will be done in my life and in the church that I'm identified with. Those who labour faithfully in the vineyard as overcomers are those who desire with all their heart to walk totally by faith, trusting in God's word and his promises. Because I believe, brothers and sisters, this will be the deciding factor of a true overcomer and those who are not. We are still pushing this one under the carpet. We're still not fully surrendering to God, confessing to God, where we're still trusting in the arm of the flesh. Oh, it'll be all right tomorrow, or next year, or next week, it'll be fine. No, brothers and sisters, it's what we do with it today, now, where I'm still trusting in the arm of the flesh and not trusting in the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That is what is going to characterize an overcomer. But Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the trials that are going on in my life. Do you know something? All our ideas about trials, all where we're maybe missing it in trusting God by faith, or all the things that we hear, or what medical science has to say, or what the world has to say, or whatever it would be, remember that God's word has been around far, far longer than your life and your experience. Not only has it been around longer, but it's been tried and proved and tested throughout eternity. The word of God will never come to an end. It always has been, and it always will be, because his name is Jesus. He is the living word, revealed to us in Revelation. And one of the things that he's revealed to us is he is totally faithful. Even in the trials, even when you feel you don't have any faith, even when you feel confused, or you're not sure what God is saying, he still remains faithful. He is the ever true faithful one, because he's faithful to his word. I think some of us, we're not drawing from that. We are still equating our feelings, our emotions, with God's word and his promises. I don't feel healed. I don't feel well. Have you wondered how many times in the day you use that word feel? I don't feel. I don't feel it's good. I don't feel, or whatever it is. You see, that's telling us I want to feel something. Now, I'm not saying that we can't use that word feel, but we're so equating it with our faith and the word of God and our trials. When you appropriate the word of God in an area of healing, in a trial that you're going through, I can assure you, 9 times out of 10, when you settle on the word of God, you don't feel a thing. You don't even feel healed. And yet we still equate the feeling with the promise of God's word, and how the devil has a field day. And it is a clear indication that the word of God has not got us yet in our hearts. It's not possessed us, absorbed us, controlled us, influenced us. It's still in the head. And this is why things don't happen. And the only way we get that change, we get that into our hearts, is that we do not lose sight of the word of God, what we are being taught. That it's our everyday food. It's our everyday guidance, teaching. Because faith comes by hearing, reading that word. It comes as we pray, as we intercede on that word, those promises. Let that word that I read today, let it possess me. Let it become my life, my walk, my living, my experience. Do you think God's going to turn somebody away when they pray from the heart like that? You know God is going to answer that prayer. You don't doubt it when you pray in such a way. And yet we don't do it. It's just another meeting. It's another word. And so on. Because brothers and sisters, we're not yet desperate enough. Overcomers are desperate. And their desperation is seen by the way they press in and take the kingdom by force, by violence, in actual fact. That's what it reads. I haven't time to mess about. I haven't time to hang on. I'm on a journey. And I could be late. That's what it means to press in for the kingdom of God. Again, only the Father can put that into your hearts if you want it. Because an overcomer has settled to the fact that I am going to experience a total walk of faith in God's word and promises. You see, most are loyal, aren't they, to their family and all the needs that go on in the family. They're loyal to their work, or they're very loyal to their denomination or organisation that they belong to, or church, or they're very loyal to their hobbies. You could just name it and go on and on. You see, people out in the world who are totally committed and loyal to worldly things. And sadly, it goes on with Christians. And yet, are we loyal to the word of God? To its truth, its deliverance, that word will heal me, that word will save me, that word will save my loved ones, that word will open doors for the word of God to be ministered? I could just go on and on and on. But do we believe? That is the question. So often the word, our belief, our commitment, our faith comes secondary or way down in the list. And if you would be honest and you look at your life, you'll see whereabouts in the list it lies. And you'll see those other worldly affections are taking precedence over it. Doesn't take a lot of discerning. If we want God to show us, he will. And the reason he's speaking to us like he is today, he wants to show us, even in FGA. You see, the church at Ephesus was loyal. It was grounded on the word of God. And you see, this is why I'm making such an emphasis today on the Word of God in your life. Because the Word of God, if you love it with all your heart, soul and being, that is going to keep you loyal and faithful. That's what it produces in your life. And that is why we're able to test and discern. Because by being loyal to the Word of God, putting the Word of God above everything else in emotion and feelings and all those things that go on, that's what keeps us loyal, committed, even if we do miss it. And sometimes we do. Sometimes you fall off a horse, but what you do, you get back on it. And the only way you get back on that horse is if you are loyal and committed to God's word, and you're not going to change it. And the Word of God has got nothing to do with my feelings, my emotions, or how I, or what's going on today. Because all of that changes. I've said to you many, many times, your feelings and your emotions are like the wind. They're like the UK weather, can change within 5 minutes. But God's Word never changes. It's an anchor to the soul. And that's why, if you're loyal to this, you will be able to discern in these last days. You'll be able to remain faithful to the calling, to the commitment and consecration. Because most who profess Christ today, sadly, are not. We know this for a fact in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. You know this well. I'll just read it quickly to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Exactly what we're preaching today. Faith in God's revealed word. It says, in the last days which we believe we're in, many will turn away from the word of God. Oh, they'll confess the word, they'll use it in their preaching, but they don't really believe it. Their lives are not matching up to it. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. In other words, this is so important to stay with God's word and not change it, dilute it. What I was saying is, those who are departing from the faith, who don't hold to God's word, who don't want God's word living in their lives, when you lose sight of that, when you lose sight of who the word of God is, it is Jesus, because it's living the same as he's alive. When you lose sight of that, you begin to open the door to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That is always what will happen. Because you won't turn away from the outward appearance of being a Christian. You'll still stay with that, because the deception, the deceiving spirit behind that, will let you still think you are Christian, but you have then moved into the era of deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And they'll still call themselves born again, spirit-filled Christians. That is what happens. They once received the truth, the light, but they didn't adhere to it. They didn't stay with it. They lost sight of their first love. It's a warning to all of us, brothers and sisters. And again, if we cry out to God in our hearts, Lord, let me not be deceived. Let me not embrace false doctrines and so on. If you mean that, then our Heavenly Father will preserve and keep us in the purity of the truth. And they speak lies in hypocrisy, he says, having their own consciences seared with a hot iron. So we see the digression that happens with this. And then all these legalistic things come in, and religious observances come in, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods, and all these things that go on that is so prevalent around today. You are at liberty to eat what God puts in front of you, because it is blessed, it is sanctified. People have problems with what they eat. We thank God that He puts a meal in front of us. None of us have ever gone through what some have to go through, what I have seen my brothers and sisters in India have to go through, where they have to believe for food, or they go through a trial where all their diet is going to be just rice or just a vegetable. And they live on that for 2, 3, 4 weeks, trusting the Lord. I wonder what we would think here in the West if that was what was placed in front of us. It's nothing but pride and arrogance in one. We have this assumption that I must always eat the very best, and I expect the very best. What do you do, brothers and sisters, if you're invited for a meal by other believers? Are you going to turn your nose up what is put on the table because it doesn't come up to your standards? And you call yourself an overcomer? These are the things that are moving into doctrines of demons. This problems, these legalisms that start to come. There are others who are worried about if they eat certain things, it'll be no good for me, or it'll raise my cholesterol levels, or so on. Well, then why bother praying? Why bother believing that God blesses the food to our bodies? You are at liberty. You have been bought with a price. You are made free. Now, we don't indulge ourselves. We don't go overboard. That's not what we're talking about. It is a blessing when the saints come together and for a meeting and to share, and to share our food together, and to commit it to the Lord for blessing. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. The very fact that He's given us food, He's put food on the table. I am truly grateful for that. And I thank Him and praise Him. I'm not sure it's in all our hearts. We take these things for granted. And I could go on with this sort of thing. So many today are obsessed with their health, their fitness, how they look, how they come over, and so on. These are all clear signs, if it's got a hold of you, that you're not really trusting God, that His word has not really penetrated into your heart. For God has promised He will sustain us. God hasn't made a mistake when He saves you or I. He saves us to look after us. You look after your own children whom you love. How much more does God look after us, whom He redeemed with His own blood? Think on those things. And it then brings that balance into our lives, where our whole life is glorifying unto the Lord. Hallelujah. It all comes back to the Word of God and what we're believing. There's an obsession today on so many of these things. It's all New Age. It's the enemy trying to rob us of trusting God, that He will provide, He will look after us, He'll give us all the vitamins and everything that we need for our body. He's put His life, his Spirit within each of us. Is that not enough? It seems not to be for some. And why? Because the Word of God is not doing that work. They're not opening their hearts to let the Word of God change them. It's not rocket science to discern this, brothers and sisters. No, an overcomer will be characterized by their desire, their want for a total walk of faith, trusting God and his word. That will be one of the main factors that is seen in the overcomer's life. But sadly, so many things of the world just put that down further and further on our lists, and so on. The church at Ephesus was loyal. We've already read it there in verses 2 and 3. They were grounded in the Word of God, because the Word of God is going to keep you loyal and faithful. How do we know it keeps us loyal and faithful? Because it enables us, with the word, that sword, to be able to divide what is of God and what is not of God. If you are confused and you can't discern and you can't test in these last days, then you will never remain loyal. You are divided. And so many Christians are divided in their mind and thinking. No, when you are grounded in God's word, it not only enables you to be able to discern, to rightly divine the word of truth, but it works an anchoring in your life where you can be loyal and committed and faithful, which characterizes an overcomer. What does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 and 14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And so it goes on. That is happening today, brothers and sisters. Are we able to discern that and test that? Are we secure, knowing that Christ is always ahead, one step ahead, revealing, showing us whether it's of him or not? That's why he's in front of us, for that very purpose. The Word of God. Because we have to test, discern in these last days. We've heard so many, many times that our warfare is not about flesh and blood. It's about powers and principalities. Every time we get into prayer and warfare and take authority over the powers of darkness, we are pushing them back for the power of God and the presence of God and his angels to come in and do the work that they want to do. That authority has been given to the church. And the church will go as far as it wants to go when she's prepared to get into prayer and warfare. That's why Jesus said, "My house is a house of prayer." Yet most Christians have little insight of this. We know what's going to happen when the overcomers are finally snatched and caught away. Then we see the powers of darkness begin to move over the earth very quickly for 7 years. And then God has to judge it. So we at the moment keep it back by our faith, by our endurance, our patience, our overcoming, our belief, our confession, our holding on to the pure word of God, our prayer life, our intercession, our meeting together. We keep this back And not only FGA, but others who are called to be overcomers as well. What a responsibility this is. By keeping this back enables your families to get saved. By keeping this back enables us to be able to continue to meet faithfully each week and not go underground or be persecuted or put in prison. I could just go on and on. What our meetings, our holding on in faith is doing. Brothers and sisters, your eyes need opening. We've been too blind in the past because we're too absorbed in ourselves, our problems, me, what I'm going through. I don't feel well today, or whatever it is. I know they're all true. They can go on, but we've got to rise above it. And the only way we rise above all of this is by the power of the Spirit of God. For it's not by might nor by power, it's only by the Spirit of the living God that you can ever rise above this. Otherwise, you will be trapped by your feelings and your emotions. And Satan has a field day. This is why God's delivering us. This is why he's purifying our hearts. This is why he's closing all those doors into your mind that have a demon behind it, where the door is open. He's doing it. He's doing it right now as we hear this word. This is why the enemy doesn't like it. This is why the enemy's tried to boot me out of the room. Aren't these clear signs? This is real, brothers and sisters. We're up against these powers and principalities who are trying everything to stop this. This is why I say pray for our meetings. Pray for the preacher who's going to preach that word. Come prayed up, prepared. It helps you then to hear the word of God and get it into your hearts. These things are very important, brothers and sisters. You know, purity and God's word is absolutely paramount. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Exactly what I've just been talking about. He is a shield to your emotions, your feelings, your unbelief, what your senses feel, what your eyes are looking at, what your ears are hearing, even what comes out of your mouth. The word of God, if it's pure and we receive that pure word into our hearts, he says, I will raise a shield that will protect you. To those who put their trust in him. In other words, trust in the word of God. That total faith. You can't overcome these things in yourself, in your flesh. And some of us, bless your hearts, you're still trying to do it. The Christian walk isn't about trying. It's about believing. The pureness of God's word is pure because it's based on truth. And Jesus said this in John 17 and verse 17. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So what does the purity of God's word produce? Truth. And we know that the truth sets you free. And Jesus said that truth separates you from the world. That's what it means to sanctify, to separate you, set you apart so that God can do that work. But some of us don't want to be set apart because we still like the things of the world. And we put the things of the world first before we put the things of God first. That's a clear indication. We have to remember, brothers and sisters, and I close with this, the Word of God was and is and always will be. There never will be a time without the Word of God for a believer. The Word of God will always be throughout eternity in heaven, and it will always be there, and we will always live by it, believe by it, and confess by it. And if you don't get that right now in this life, if you don't really want that, then heaven is not for you. And the only way that will ever change is when you ask God to put that love and affection for His Word, which enables you to be able to be that overcomer. Let's finally look at Matthew 24, verse 35. Matthew 24 and verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. That is what Jesus said. That's what He said to them, because He's about to go to the cross. He's the Word made flesh, and He's being put to the cross. You could say, without being disrespectful, that the Word of God was being nailed to the cross. Satan was trying to destroy the Word of God, but Jesus already confessed it there. I'm eternal. I'm going to go back to my Father. You can't destroy this Word. It's eternal forever and always will be. Brothers and sisters, we need to settle it. What do you want in your life? Your own will? Your own what you want to do? Or do you want the Word of God to be that principle in your life, governing your life, leading your life, feeding your life, healing your life, protecting your life? I could just go on and on. What do you want? Only you can decide that. The teacher, the pastor, whoever's there, cannot do that for you. We simply present it to you as God reveals it. It's how you take it up. And all those that take up God's word, their lives in the natural look a mess. Their lives look completely contrary to living a walk of faith or trusting God or whatever it is. Well, brothers and sisters, you're the right candidate. You're the right person, because God says in the last days He's going out to the highways and the byways. He's going to the defiled, the rejected, the lowly, the pervert, you name it. Their lives are anything looking holy, righteous. But look what God does with those lives. Look how He turns them around, clothes them, heals them, restores them, puts a new mind into them, a new confession. Their lives transform and change and blossom for the glory of God. That's you. That's me. But you can't do it in yourself. And all the while you're trapped in your feelings, your emotions, and equating faith and the Word of God with that, you will never rise above it. You've got to go back to the drawing board. You've got to go back to the beginning. And this is why we're bringing out again the principles and the teachings of the deeper life. And this is why I'm dealing first about the overcoming walk. That is what characterizes an overcomer, his or her loyalty to the Word of God first and foremost. And the second thing that we remember with this, that we don't make the mistake that the church at Ephesus did by losing sight of their first love. Maybe going over the deeper life teaching is going to bring some of us back to our first love, which we've lost sight of. And only you know that. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you that you've given us your word and you're showing us that you are faithful to your word and that your word is living, it is alive, it is that two-edged sharp sword. That word changes me, delivers me, conforms me into the image of Almighty God. Help us, Father, not to mingle our feelings and emotions with the promises of God's word. It's got nothing to do with it. Whatever the circumstances, even if we find ourselves in prison, God's word says differently. Father, help us to rise to this standard that you have revealed today, but not in our own strength or ability, but in our belief that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the very fact that you made no mistake in calling me from the foundation of the world. Father, let us be your handiwork. Let us be that vessel that the potter takes pride in, that he is moulded and perfected for his good pleasure. Lord, we desire to be that for you. Let us feel the Father's heart when you are delighted in our faith and our obedience, our choosing your ways and not the ways of the world. These are experiences that can be felt and experienced by the believer through the Holy Spirit as we do your will. I believe, Lord, when Jesus surrendered himself totally to the cross, what enabled him to be able to be nailed and put there in his full humiliation in the flesh was that he knew in his heart and he was experiencing the Father's pleasure in what his Son was doing. Lord, that is profound. It doesn't make sense to the world, to the flesh, but to a man or woman of the Spirit who walks by the Spirit, Lord, we too are experiencing the Father's pleasure and desire when the cross is doing its work. So Lord, thank you today. Thank you for our fellowship, our assembling together. Lord, may you ever bless, preserve and keep my brothers and sisters. Keep them in the purity of your word. Increase that hunger for more and more. Let them not compromise or take second best, but always looking to Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, praise God. Again, God loves us so much that he speaks to us in the way that he does, because he doesn't want any of us to perish. And if we look to the Lord and we trust him, then we have that absolute confidence we can walk as overcomers in these last days. Hallelujah. Well, before I close, thank you all for your time and for those who've monitored today. Is it possible that we could meet next Sunday at Andover. Would that be convenient, or am I putting you on the spot? Or you want to seek the Lord first about it? So that's okay, yes. Right. So thank you for that. We will be meeting then next Sunday at 11 at the Richmond's. And the second thing I want to find out is the common room. Because as you know, we meet there the last Sunday of every month for prayer. Do we know yet whether we're able to meet there or not? Maybe we could find out about this through the week from Brother Eric, because we will need to know what to do on that. So with that, the room will be opened, waiting on news. Okay, Eric, we'll wait on you. If you could let us know whether we'll be there for prayer in 2 weeks' time. Thank you for that. Well, the room will be open again on Tuesday evening. That is 7:30. That is UK time. So if any of you live abroad, you'll have to work out the time on that. But the room will be open that 7:30 onwards, UK time. And our brother Bob will continue to share the Deeper Life teaching. So until then, have a blessed time with Jesus.